Accession number 17429, Reel 4.
John Burroughs, Reel 4.
Well, as I was saying, we were carrying this heavy radio and everybody was taking a turn carrying it. I didn't. I had enough to do by using my compass and map and in general controlling the leading scout this way and that way. And I was, after all, the commander, section commander. But we all took a share. We used to, on certain things, stand guard and all that. But this particular day, I just had too much to do on maintaining our line of march through the jungle. And I ordered the radio to be carried and then changed, and somebody else would carry it. And then I get back to this particular national service man, and I said, right, get off that radio and carry it. And he said, stuff you, or similar words. And I said, do it. And he chucked the thing on the ground and kicked it. So I said, you will pick it up, you will carry it. Well, we didn't have a punch up, but it nearly came to it in the middle of the jungle. And he said, I hope we bump bandits today, because if we do, you had it. So I just took his rifle away and removed the bolt and then slung it back at him. And we went on, we stopped, and we had a break, and we set up the camp. Now, it was only me. I was the sole commander, and I didn't have witnesses. I told the man he was under open arrest. And then, as the evening, well, we stopped probably 3 o'clock, made a reasonable basher, had a brew up. And the guy was looking really worried, and he came over and apologised. So I dropped the charge and that. But it was a dangerous situation. And it was only because they didn't have the stamina. They didn't want to be there. It was a problem. And yet, you'll read accounts how lots of national servicemen went on, won medals, became great commanders. You could say it the same with some of the regular soldiers. We had people who were probably in the mid-30s, which was an old man, and they'd been used to the skiving jobs back in the regular regiment headquarters, storm and that sort of thing. And some of these guys all of a sudden found themselves in the jungle carrying out an infantryman's job, and they'd had probably a few years skiving in cushy numbers. Even our hero of the West Kents had a cushy job, and he became an operational soldier, a very fine soldier and leader. So what can I say? It's the mix of life, I suppose. National service was unique in its own right. People were dragged from their civilian occupations, didn't want to serve, but they were there because they had to be there. I had my own problems. I was near the end of my service. I was very despondent with the army. I couldn't get the promotion I wanted. I'd recently got married and I was separated from my wife, and I just wanted to get back to her and carry on. So when my 5 years plus was up, bearing in mind we'd had another 6 months slammed onto us, I just left the army and that was it. And was pleased to leave it, but still in my inner self I had this yearning, I want to be a soldier. I always had that. That was the thing for me. So 5 years later I joined the Territorial Army and served for 7 years.
Did you ever fall sick in Malaya?
Oh yeah, I was in hospital for a week or so. I got a brief injury. A grenade went off. I was slapped against a tree. The weapon I was carrying, this Australian Owen gun, had the magazine mounted on top of the gun. And as I went back and slapped against this tree, the magazine caught the corner of my mouth. And I had 2 stitches. And I eventually lost 2 teeth. through the chipping and that. I have tinnitus today, and it's deemed to be through gunshot noise, which many people suffer. For this, I receive a small army pension, war pension. But I put a lot of that down to playing soldiers in the Territorial Army years later, whereby I used to be very keen on shooting and took part in many competitions. We didn't have things like ear protectors in those days. And indeed, you couldn't wear ear protectors in the jungle. So that was a problem in itself.
What was your own personal attitude towards the enemy? Was it one of respect or hatred or what?
I don't think there was any hate. We just wanted to kill the bastards, that's all. They'd carried out some nasty atrocities. But I remember carrying back this, what appeared to be a young boy in a pole between us. I don't suppose he was more than about 17. But in his own mind, he was probably thought he was fighting for a cause. It was only years later when you dwell back on these things and think, what was it all about? Communism wasn't very respectable in those days. There's the Vietnam thing looming up. Indochina at that particular time. In fact, on one patrol, we took out a French officer from Indochina. And we tried to give him a few scaries. I was leading this patrol, and he was acting as just an ordinary rifleman in the patrol. He was a French captain. And I thought we'd give him a scare, so I made the ambush signal. And
what was that?
We hand over the face. And we all went to cover, and he pulled out a rusty automatic. I don't think it would have fired. But it was more of a joke. There was always the humour side. It wasn't all tough, strict stuff.
But did you feel that you were attempting to save the country from communist takeover?
I don't think I was that politically motivated. I didn't. I obviously regarded these people as the enemy, and I was a professional soldier. My duty was to kill the enemy. And these were particularly nasty so-and-sos. They'd done some particularly nasty things. And of course, as time went on and we suffered casualties ourselves, the odd guy shot in ambush, and then the big West Kent massacre, which was getting towards the end of my service anyway. We had hate. We wanted to get them. We had things to hate them for. I was, I wouldn't say bitter, I just got married. Well, I got married sometime before I went to Malaya, and that was, I just wanted to get back and get on with my life. I missed my wife terribly and all that. So I think the sooner you could get it over with, the better. And I'd lost all my ambition of becoming a regular soldier. I had better things in life to look forward to. I succeeded when I eventually came out. I worked and I became a general manager of a company and a director, and then I became a consultant and I worked offshore. And I went to many parts of the world and attended many meetings and conferences. The army never would have done any of that for me. I was earning more money than a brigadier, I'd think, after about 5 years of coming out of the army. Well, maybe a bit longer. It hadn't gone that way all the time, though.